All right. We're getting ready. Fred's teaching this morning, but as as Joe came in, he said that God had woke him up this morning, said to get to church, that there's going to be a good teaching today. It sounds like a prophetic word to me, brothers. So you got the word. How about if you pray over him this morning?
Amen.
I'd be honored. Lord, I thank you for my brother Fred. I thank you he's here today. Lord, I pray you anoint him. Prepare our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us today. And Lord, we just thank you for our church and our church family. Thank you for this food. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. All right. Thank you, Fred. All yours, buddy. Go
thank
for
you,
it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All right. To start off here, I didn't really want to do this teaching.
Hold on. I forgot my coffee.
Well, I shouldn't say I didn't want to do a teaching. I didn't want to do this particular one because God gave me something. He's going to be on predestined. And yes, I know. And it's kind of a story, I mean, because I, I know. But, you know, I'm sitting here like Monday, you know, like week's good enough time. I'm thinking, like, Lord, give me some. I'm reading the Word. Give me something to teach on. And, well, nothing's coming to my head. You know, all right. Well, that's not, you know, sometimes that happens, you know, and later on. But anyways, you know, a couple days go by, so I'm in the shower, taking a shower, and predestined comes to my head. You know, and I'm like, oh, no, that's not, you know, that's not it. Well, you know, just stood there. And, you know, of course, I felt like, you know, Peter, surely not I, Lord. What do I know about this? I mean, I'm still back and forth finding myself, you know. And so I just went with it. So this is what I got. So I know it's kind of, it's controversial because even when I was reading up on it, there's some pastors say this, some theologians say this, you know, but going by what the scriptures say and what my pastor told me. But because I guess the thing that that really got me, that really hindered me from understanding it, you know, I guess, you know, I'll start off with Romans 13. Paul talks about it, I mean, Romans 9:13, Paul talks about it in Romans 9. But I'll just take this little scripture that kind of really, you know, it says, it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. So, I mean, right there, you're like, wow, you look at that scripture and like, wow, that's pretty unfair. You know, or pretty unjust that how can God hate somebody, you know, and love another person. You know, I thought God loves everybody. You know, so you can say that, and what I read about people, you know, the two different teachings on this is some people think that God looked down the corridor at the time. You know, seeing that Esau wasn't going to accept God no matter what. You know, so God rejected him. Well, the scripture doesn't back that up. You know, the scripture doesn't say that God, you know, that God looked down the corridor of time. I mean, we know God knows the beginning from the end, so we know he knows everything. But it doesn't say that, you know, God, you know, chose one because he knew what he was going to do and rejected the other one because he knew what he was going to do. It's pretty much God chose to do this, and it's his purpose. Yep. You know, it's his will. And that sounds harsh. That don't sound, you know, because I was more leaning towards God seeing, the, you know, seeing down the corridor of the time to make you feel better. You know, to say God's seen this, and, you know, that's, you know, so that's why he rejected him. You know, but, you know, from what I read and what I was doing, of course, I can do this for years. You know, I mean, I'm trying to put this all into teaching, and I didn't get it to really, like, last night. So, you know, I'm up to, like, 12 o'clock at night, and I'm like, oh, this just don't sound right. You know, I'm erasing that. I'm putting this back in. So finally you had to say, it is what it is. You know, if this is you, Lord, then you'll be with me. I mean, so it says, you know, so that's what I'm going to focus on that right now to try to explain that, you know, it's not because God seen the future and stuff. He just rose him up for that purpose. I mean, do we know why? I mean, if we look at Pharaoh, God pretty much says, I raised you up for this purpose. You know, he said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. You know, and, you know, why? So my glory could be shown. You know, so my purpose could be done. You know, and it even says in Acts, and I didn't write it down, I'm going off memory, but it's, and because God says, I can wipe you out. I can wipe your whole nation out, you know, with one plague. But he chose not to do that. He chose, you know, so basically he left them intact, the Egyptians. So if you look at that, that's kind of God's grace right there. He didn't come with a full judgment and just wipe you out, you know. So I looked at that like, wow, God, even though, you know, you can say they come under a lot of, you know, plagues and, you know, judgment, they still didn't come over a full judgment, you know. So I'm like, well, God even showed his grace there, you know, on them. You know, so, you know, it said, God made his decision to best bless Jacob and reject Esau. Based on the fact God foresaw that Jacob would decide to trust him, but Esau will reject him, you know, it's...
You make a very good, as you catch your place there, you make a very good point. Thing we got to remember, sometimes we look at this and make it difficult. What did Esau do? He sold his birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it from our perspective. He turned from God. He started serving something else. That's the spirit that God hates. Someone that all that God has done for us, that we would turn our back on him just like he knew that Esau was. And that's what he hates, that spirit, right? Anybody that would turn their back on God, what happens? You don't go to, he doesn't send you to hell because he loves you. I'm sorry. He loves you so much he sent his son to die for you so you don't have to go to hell. Amen. That's how much he loves you. And if you choose to accept that, that's a spirit that's in you, and that's what God hates. Right, Fred?
Yes. But it says, clearly in Romans 9:11. Yet before the twins were born or had done any good or bad, in order that God's purpose in the elect might stand, not by works, but by who's called, she was told the older would serve the younger. You know, so that's pretty much saying that God's doing this for his purpose. Amen. You know, so it didn't say God seeing that Esau was going to do something or seeing that Jacob was going to do something. God's clearly saying that he's doing this so my purpose can be done. You know, and it's, you know, because that, for God to say the older would serve the younger, that's taken away from Esau right before he was born, because he was entitled to that. And later on, of course, he sold it for what, a bowl of soup? You know, and I mean, of course, but if you look at Jacob, he was deceiving and all that. You know, he was snuck into the tent, you know, and what, put wool on to make himself feel like Esau with his dad, and he took the birthright. So that was deceiving. So basically, neither one of them should, if you go by that, just, neither one of them was good. You know, so why did he serve? I mean, why did he choose Jacob? You know, so we can look like, and then what really got me, because we look at it as unfair or unjust, but if we're looking for justice, then we all should be condemned.
That's right.
You know, if you want to say that, then we all should be condemned. God chooses us, his elect, or certain people. You know, you can say that's unfair, but if we want fairness, then we all should be condemned. You know, so he picks certain people out of that, you know, out of the world. So actually, it's not, we're not, you know, is it just that he picked me to, you know, to be saved? I would say, yeah, all right, you know, I mean, on a personal level, I mean, yeah, thank you, you know. I mean, we instead of looking at who's not chosen, you know, we should look at why am I chosen? You know, that is the question. I mean, you know, and an enemy would throw some stuff in there like, oh, look at it, you know, but we don't know who's chosen, you know, so we got to keep on spreading the word. I mean, the word of God says, you know, Some plant the seed, some water, but God makes it grow. There's nothing we do to make a person turn to God. We're only trying to help, you know. We're doing what God, you know, has told us to do. You know, so, I mean, should we say, you know, that guy don't listen to me. Yeah, he's probably not chosen. You know, no. I mean, because we don't know. Are we going to put ourselves in God's shoes to say that? Because we don't know. We don't know years down the line if what you said to that guy 10 years ago, God's going to bring it back to his memory. Amen. Or how many people in that 10 years that God's going to put to water the seed. Yeah. You know, or maybe you didn't even plant the seed. Maybe you're just a waterer. You know? You know, how many people need to water the seed? I mean, I was kind of hard-headed. I probably got a seed watered a bunch of times. You know what I mean?
It's a good thing Esther, you know, pounded that seed in that head of yours. just what you're talking about. We don't know. You know, have the idea that, you know, everybody that you come in contact with, you know, is chosen. We were out at the polls. I know I shared this Thursday. Raina was out there and Sandra and Kathy. And so we're out there, and I had to go use the restroom. So when I came out, there was a young girl. There were actually three girls, two Muslim girls, and then another girl that I actually thought was from the Middle East. But, you know, I didn't know. And it came out, and this other girl came up, and she said, do you guys still have the Bible release class? You know, and I just kind of smiled to myself. It's like not me approaching them, but them, you know, approaching. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, she was a junior. She had come out for the last 2 years, but had not turned in her slip yet, you know, to come out to the class. So we started talking. She was telling me how much she enjoyed it. I'm just thinking to myself, you know, as I'm talking with her, how the seed had been planted in there, okay? And then that led to speaking to these Muslim girls, and Raina and Sandra and Kathy end up talking to them for a while. So the next day, I'm at the church here, and somebody had called, and they said they need a pastor to call them, and there's a young girl. And so I called up, and it was a young girl, and she says, well, I used to come to the Bible release class 2 years ago. I graduated, or 3 years, in 2016. And she said, I just had a baby about 5 months premature. And she said, I didn't know what to do. All I remembered was I used to come out to that class and used to tell us, you know, that this will be the most important class. You're going to remember it later on in life. And she said, I'm calling because, you know, I need prayer. I need, you know, just some help here. She said her baby was, you know, was doing fine, but it's going to be in an incubator till the end of February. And I was just thinking, you know, to myself, God, you know, what a privilege it is to be able to speak with these kids. And you don't know where that seed's going to fall. And it's, what, 3 years? But later on, that seed began to sprout a little bit. And we may not see it, and maybe somebody else is going to come by and water it. But our job is to continue to throw that out there and let God do his thing. So you'll be encouraged. I mean, you just never know who he's going to bring across your path and how what you have to say to them might change their life, you know, for the kingdom, for eternity.
All right, well, so yeah, like I was saying that, you know, so it brings you to a question, the kind of controversial question, but I was controversial before I was saved, so why not be controversial now? Maybe that's why God brought, you know, hey, put me under Pastor Don. So, I mean, what does that tell you? Well, God does have a sense of humor, Bob.
Yes, he does.
I'll tell you. He does have a sense of humor who brought me to this church.
Yes.
Because I didn't like cops too much. You know, I hated them. You know, because why? I know. Who would have knew? But, you know, you didn't ever want to see a cop, you know, and behind you. Oh, man, what are they doing? Oh, you start thinking, do I have anything on me? Oh, no, I'm good today. All right, yeah. You know. And then so he read it. So I talked to Pastor Don. I said, bro, I really like, you know, Pastor Don. You know? And that's just like, yeah, you know he's an ex-cop. I said, really? But why didn't I didn't like him? Because I was doing stuff wrong. It wasn't them. It was me.
Oh, I got something to share.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Well, uncovered Fred, yes. All right. Just a little bit. We'll just pull the covers back a little
bit. Yeah.
You know what's funny is God does have a sense of humor because he couldn't stand cops and he hated firemen. My ex-husband used to be a fireman.
Well, I like sanitary. I like garbage men.
So God is good because, yeah, when he didn't talk to Pastor John too much, I would say he's an ex-fireman. So my ex wasn't, you know, a fireman, so that's why God is
Yeah, kidding. It wasn't pretty. Yeah. Well, if there's a story behind a fireman, I can't get into it right now. Yes, I'm just not a hateful person. It was a story behind it. Yes. Predestined to do that. But anyways, we get to the controversial topic of... Because do we have free will to come to the Lord? If we're predestined to be saved. Now, this is one that's been debated forever. You know, but what I see is, and because this is what, I mean, well, I had to, you know, I chose, the, you know, to accept God, you know. But it doesn't, you know, Scripture doesn't say that. You know, that's another something to make you feel good, like you had some kind of control in this matter. You know, and like, you know, and like Pastor Don made a good point, he was over the house yesterday. You know, as Americans, you know, free, we're free. You know, it's like in our culture that, you know, we have a free choice in stuff we do. Now, we can go debate back and forth, you know, but it clearly says, Jesus says, you did not choose me, I chose you, you know, and, you know, nobody comes through the Son unless the Father draws them in, you know, I mean, there's so many scriptures on that, and I got a scripture, I thought I had it, oh, here it goes, all right, it's Acts 16:14, I mean, the story is longer, but I just put this, it's about Lydia. And it says, God opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. You know, so her heart wasn't open. So God, by the sort of the Holy Spirit, he opened her heart to understand and receive this message. It's like he opened our hearts to receive a message. You know, no matter, you know, when it was or how it happened, there's so many different ways that God touches a person. But truly says, I mean, when I look at it, so I started thinking about free will. Free will is actually like a fleshy trait or a worldly trait, as I, you know, as I think about it. You know, Pastor, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm going off here. But so, I mean, I think, like, when God finally touches your heart, did you really have a choice in that? Or is you like, a moth going to a light? The moth goes to the light because he's drawn to that light. He can't even stop himself from going to that light. I mean, I don't know the inner workings of a moth. I didn't look that up, you know, why he did do it. You know, I mean, maybe it's not a good analogy, you know, because they go to that one zapper ring, you know. I mean, but if you, so, I mean, I just look at it. Once God, you know, once you started being spiritually alive, you know, did you really have a choice at that time? Or was you just led so much by the Spirit, you're like, shoot. You know, I mean, that's the debate. Did you have a choice? Because we would think we have a choice because we wanted, you know, I made a wise decision. You know, I mean, you know, I finally chose God. You know, I mean, that was the wisest decision I ever made. You know, so it makes us, again, feel like we had something to do with something. You know, because we got to be, you know, we got to be in control. You know, but the Bible clearly says God's supposed to be in control. You know, if we live by the Spirit, you know, then we do God's will, not our free will. So that's the way I look at it. Like, no, I didn't have a choice in this matter, which I'm glad I didn't, because if I was living by the free will, I probably would have. When I came to God, I didn't want to come to God. I mean, really? I mean, if you want to be honest about it, you know, my wife tricked me to come to church, man. I mean, that's the church. You know, I mean, it, you know, shoot, I went out and partied.
If we think of this, there's a great story, that kind of example of that. Jonah. Everybody knows that story. Did Jonah want to go?
No.
Did God want him to go?
Yeah.
What did Jonah do? He went, but not by his will all the way through. He fought it. He ran. He did everything like all of us. You know, you made a smart decision, you said. God was calling you for years, brother. Mm-hmm. What about them 800 other times you turned mm-hmm. it down and made a wrong decision? It's like we done something great. If you're destined, he's going to chase you down. Just like if it's will that Jonah did that, he wasn't going to take no for an answer. Whether or not you want to or not, if you're predestined, if you're chosen, somewhere God is going to chase you down like a hound dog, right, on the scent.
Once a hound dog gets on the scent, he ain't going to lose it, right?
So I guess it's to the point where, I mean, you can go back and forth. I mean, you'll probably leave here more confused than when you come in. You know, I mean, to me it seems, you know, because I was reading, it seemed very logical what I was reading, you know. I really understand, because before then I was back and forth. Like, no, we have free will. What about this time? You know, I chose to do this, you know, and God brought me, you know, why would he let me choose this wrong thing? You know, but, you know, the Bible is full of people that done wrong things, but they were still chose by God at a certain point in their life. You know, that God overlooked, and what they say, he leaves man to their depravities, you know, and so I ain't got a scripture to back that up, and it's in there. I read it before. You know, it's in there, brother. You know, but
yes.
Believe me, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Maybe that's what it's for. You guys got to get into the Bible. I mean, they said they.
I got something to back you up, okay? I'm just reading it.
Hold on.
Yeah, I was just reading this in Romans 8:28. It says, for we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined
mm-hmm.
to
there you
be
go.
Conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined,
woo.
He also called,
woo.
Those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he also glorified. How's that great?
Yes, that
great?
Is perfect.
How's
that is perfect. How come I don't have that? You was predestined to be here, sisters. You know what I'm saying? God is good. He always covers me. I don't know why. He always covers me, man.
I got your back.
But thank you, Lord, because he loves me. Who would have thought? Hey. So, but yeah. So we, you know, we're called, like Anisha said, we're called according to His glory.
Amen.
To do His works.
Yes, it.
You know, and but you can't. You can't get. I mean, in my mind, you can't get past that. There's some people that ain't called. You know, you don't call. I mean, what's the scripture? Many are called, few are chosen.
Amen.
You know,
yep.
And that's when you just gotta, God, your Creator of the world.
Yep.
You know, I'm glad you chose me.
Yes.
You know, and. Yes. You know, like you said, we can't focus on who's not chosen, but
right.
Why am I chosen?
You,
because you are chosen for His purpose,
you,
to do His works,
yep.
You know, and, you know, that's pretty much it. You've got to love each other, treat
that's
each other,
it.
You know, well, and, you know, of course, we're a work in progress.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask one thing. I don't think that anyone in this room came to Christ without someone praying for them. I mean, it could be a grandmother, it could be mm-hmm. a grandpa, it could be, you know, someone, aunt, uncle, but somebody was praying for somebody. And so I think prayer's powerful in leading people. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us,
mm-hmm.
but that's through our interaction through prayer. I mean, I still have loved ones that I want to come to the Lord, and I want to believe that they're going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm praying. I'm not just thinking, well, either God's going to choose them or He's not going to choose them. I'm praying that their hearts will soften.
Yep.
Amen.
Yes. And that's what the point I was trying to make. That's the point I was trying to make, because we don't know. We don't know, and we shouldn't even think that we do. Should even think that we do know. You know, because, you know, we are called to pray for, you know, the lost, and we are called to minister to the lost. I mean, so this, like I said, this is a hard teaching.
Yes,
you know.
Actually, I was just going to make that same point.
Confirmation. All right. All right.
I mean,
as you had said, Fred, earlier on, that we don't know with some individuals and whatnot, because we don't know the time that God's going to choose them.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the cross, and the thief on the cross. I mean, anybody look at him, wasn't going to be chosen. It was over.
It was over.
But at that time, he said, you'll be with me in paradise.
Yep.
So there's no reason to give up hope on what mm-hmm. God's doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
There's hope for all of us, because His desire was that not one would perish.
Yes, yes.
That's right. That's right.
We can look at people, and, you know, we've hit rock bottom five times in their life.
Yep.
You know, and we would have chosen, if I would have chosen, I would have chosen, I definitely would have chosen now.
Yep.
You know, but they haven't chosen yet. But God is able to reach the lowest of the low.
That's right.
At any given time.
Yes.
And make that offer to them and let them know, hey, there's something better.
Amen.
I remember. Yeah. Being in the hospital, I prayed for a man dying of cancer. He was over 80, is all I knew. He gave his heart to the Lord. 2 hours later, he died at 80 years old. Don't you think that most people would have thought, there's no hope for that guy now? 80 years? He's never given his heart to the Lord. Why would he now?
Right.
Never give up praying.
Amen.
Yeah, that's...
Chief! Chief!
I don't have my hand. Chief! I didn't have my hand.
Okay.
Randall.
Oh, I was just going to ask a question. Like, what? Can you be predestined but reject God?
No. No. Remember the story?
I think. What do you mean, productive in God's will, or just productive in life, period?
I mean, call you all your life and you reject Him, right?
Look at
Jonah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but...
Yeah.
I'll tell you about Greg Randall, how you ran into him, and, you know, you keep coming across the path. Even with his mother.
So back in high school, my best friend, we went to the original Bible release.
Yeah.
about 40 years ago. And Pastor Don was teaching. And yes. I mean, technically it was 39 years ago, so it wasn't that long. But we had both gotten saved, and his mom, she freaked out, and, you know, like, she thought it was a cult. And she actually formed a group that came against Pastor Don and tried to get the Bible release out of the school and everything else.
Good. That brought attention to it. Good.
And she ended up, one day he had a call to go to her house as an officer, and she repented to him. She, you know, a few years later, says, you know, I just saw you were just trying to do good things for these kids and blah, 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 and I apologize. And, you know, so that was really good. So years later, she was on her deathbed, and my mom still lived next door to her. And I seen her daughter, who I was friends with, and she says, yeah, mom's, you know, she's going to die soon. So I go in there. I said, well, can I go pray with her? She has a Bible on her chest, and she's just, you know, loving the Lord, and she's ready to meet Jesus and everything else. And their son comes in a couple months later for the funeral. And I know it sounds weird, but God had me write him a letter. And I said, remember back, you know, 30-some years ago, you know, gave your heart to the Lord. Well, you know, I'm serving God now, and I hope you too will one day, you know, serve the Lord. And so you never know. You never know.
You never know.
Is that what you
never know?
Amen. Back when I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I had a vision. And I know I've shared this before. I was in my bedroom, and the room went black, and then I saw a door suspended in air, and this door was cracked open. And I saw a hand like this, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Raina, take my hand and walk through this door. And I said, no, pull me. And the Lord said, no, Raina, I love you. Take my hand and walk through this door. Again, I said, no, pull me. And the Lord kind of said, Raina, I love you. Take my hand and walk through this door. And then my vision went away, and I saw my bedroom just the way it was. But you're right, we can't run away from the call of God in our lives. Amen. We can't run away from the fact that we're predestined. My grandmother prayed for me to come to know Jesus, and I didn't know Jesus when she was alive, but I know that God honored her prayer a year and 8 months after she died.
Amen.
And so I will see her in glory with the Lord.
Amen.
But the Lord called me. At first, I did reject him, and I said, no. But like a hound, he will come again and again and again and again. And so what I pray for my children, specifically my young boys, is, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior and make it almost impossible for them to reject you.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to share. I was going to save it for later, but I think I got a real fast story I got to share. If you remember, I told you the story about meeting a guy at Myers. He took me to his house. I told him I'd pray for his wife that had cancer, right? I thought I was just going to put her on the prayer list. He waits for me and takes me home, makes me pray for her there. So we prayed for him, his son, and his wife, too. She was kind of a believer. She never went to church, but she didn't deny God. I told you here, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, I ran into him again. They'd only give her a couple months at the most to live. She was still alive and doing well.
Amen.
My last trip to Myers, quite by coincidence, right? Or is it a God incident? I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I hear a, hey! And here comes a wheelchair.
Wow.
The lady was there with her husband and son both.
Oh.
Was still alive, doing good, right?
Yeah.
The point is, not that she is doing good, the point is that if God wants somebody to change her heart and receive that, you notice that he always puts Christians in their lives. He didn't give up on that lady and let her die, did he?
No.
He keeps putting people there. It was a total difference when I seen her this time than the first couple times I've seen her, right?
Amen.
Not just the illness,
right.
The fact that, you know, she's thanking me, she's thanking God and everything for the miracle in her life so far. So that's why don't ever turn anybody away. You're always going to have people coming up in your life, and that's why you were chosen to be the light for those people.
Amen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got my mic. Hold on. Opposite.
Hold on. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that she has a question.
Yeah, I do have a question.
I believe you.
So if we're predestined and we're chosen, and God doesn't choose everyone, the people that aren't chosen, can we pray for those to be chosen?
See, that's one of the questions I mean, I don't know if I might have to answer that one.
God knows who was predestined. You don't. You pray for everybody.
Yes. That's what I would think. Because we don't know.
No, we don't.
You know, because I'm sure there's people that have been prayed for that never received God, you know, in history. You know, are we to say, why should I pray if God's already predestined them? Why should I pray for them? You know, no, we shouldn't say that because we don't know. You know, I mean, of course, you know, with people, and I'm big on this, I try to figure everything out. You know, and there's just some things you just can't, when it comes to God, you ain't figuring out. You know, we got to take it by faith and, you know, and just know that we ain't going to know everything. You know, I mean, we can get frustrated. I've been talking to this guy too long. Hey, he ain't chosen. I ain't talking to him no more. I mean, that's just your frustration because you ain't seen your prayer answered. Or this guy's not receiving the message the way you want him to receive it.
Right.
You know, so I would say just don't even think like that. And if the devil puts it in your head, say, I don't know.
Yep.
But I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to preach.
That's right.
Yeah, he knows.
That's right.
So,
how many people were praying for the Apostle Paul before he became a Christian? I don't think there was probably too many. I think if they were praying anything, it's, Lord, take this guy, leave, remove him. You know, and that's probably the same is true there. So, like what Fred and Bob said, you know, you don't know. And it might be somebody over many, many years that you continually run into, you know, like this guy at the, you know, you don't know what's going on there or whoever it might be, people that you haven't seen, you know, Diana, an old high school friend.
Or
I've been there, you know, many times, so. Yeah, I think, hey, I don't know who's called, so I'm talking to everybody.
That's right.
Why my wife hates going anywhere with me.
Pastor Don does talk to everybody. We know that. Kenny.
Now, when it came to the Apostle Paul, if you remember, and like Bob said, obedience is better than sacrifice. Ananias did not want to go and witness to Paul.
Yes, good point.
You know,
yes.
And in doing what we do, our question should be not if they're chosen or not, is, Lord, am I going to be obedient in this situation?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because if we look at it in the natural, it's like, there ain't no way this is the guy that kills people.
Yep.
Right.
He kills Christians. Why am I supposed to be witnessing to him?
Right.
So we can't be looking at things in the natural. You got to look at them in the supernatural, which is God.
Yeah.
You know, and obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes,
being obedient to what it is that God's wanting to do in your life and using you to bring forth that word at any given time to any given individual.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we all have individuals in our life that we, believe it or not, may have given up hope on because we haven't seen fruit in their life for the work that we put in.
Yes.
But that's not the case.
Yep.
God is a God of hope. There's hope for the worst of the worst.
Yes. Yes.
If there wasn't, we wouldn't be sitting here.
Amen.
Right.
So let's not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to.
Thank you.
We were sinners, saved
by
His grace, chosen
by
Him.
That's right.
And that means that anybody else out there has an opportunity. What we need to do is, as Bob says, is that what God's called you to do? Is that who God's called you to speak to?
Yeah.
And being available and open to that. Not running like Jonah. Not saying like Ananias, well, I'm not doing that. I don't want to be doing that.
I know, right?
You know, but saying, hey, here I am. Use me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
All right, well, I guess we'll close on that note.
All right, since you got everybody worked up.
So,
one more comment.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I have gone through quite a drama the past 24 months. I lost my marriage. I lost my job. I spent a year in rehabs. I am 22 months sober.
Hallelujah.
And I've only been able to do that through the body of Christ.
Amen.
I've prayed very hard constantly, and yes. He has been there for me. Yes. And I give him all the glory. I've been wanting to get back to church, and I've been wanting to come back here. This is my home. I'm choked up. I just want to say thank you and keep me in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you.
We will. You hear that, everybody. Keep it. Tell everybody your name.
Yes. My name's Al White.
Right. White as snow.
Yeah, my wife and I started out here.
Yes, they were members a long time ago, so yes, definitely keep them in prayer.
Amen.
All right.
Fred. Yeah, you know, on the way to work, on the way here, I was hoping a tire blow or something. You know,
I would have felt just like Fred. You know, that is it seems like such a complicated message that he would just stand up here and we would look at him and not understand anything. But wasn't it just the opposite? He had a word that touched our heart, that sparked
Amen.
Something in each and every one of us.
Amen.
And that's God. This word was from God today. He ordained Fred to bring this word, and thank God that Fred was obedient. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kenny, would you close us in prayer?
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Fred. We thank you for using him to bring forth the word, Lord God. We thank you that your word brings us life, Father God. Father, we pray that life would continue as we go down into the sanctuary to worship you, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.